Is being a follower of Christ more than wearing a t-shirt with a slogan, or posting what's wrong on social media, or living in a little Christian bubble, criticizing the world? What does following Jesus really look like in a broken world desperate for light and love? That's today. You don't want to miss it.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's our Bible teacher on this International Discipleship Program, and I'm Dave Drewy. In this program, we're wrapping up our series called Resilient, Withstanding the Storms of Life. For the past couple of weeks, we've been studying through the first chapter of the book of James, and we've taken a look at what it takes to stand strong when the waves of bad news, difficult circumstances, and hardship crash all around us. We've learned how not to give up and not to give in, no matter what's going on. If you've missed any of these messages along the way, you can hear them on the Chip Ingram app or online anytime by going to livingontheedge.org. Just click the Broadcasts tab. Chip's teaming up with his son Ryan Ingram, and Chip will be with us after the teaching to share some additional thoughts, so be sure to stay with us for that. Okay, let's get going and join Ryan now for part two of his talk, It's Practical, from James chapter 1.
Resilient people don't simply look in and try to figure out how do we just make it through. What they have the ability to do is they're going to roll up their sleeves and look out and go, who can we love? Who can we love? Who are the people that God has put along our path to be the hands and feet of Jesus? This word look after means to go see a person with helpful intent. It's actually proactive. I'm going to go see a person. I'm going to go out of my way. And my heart and my intent is, how can I help? In what ways can I bring aid and hope to you? The Apostle Paul would say it this way in Galatians 5, 6. The only thing that counts, think about this. That's a big statement. The only thing that counts is faith. It's the confidence that God is who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he will do. Faith, your worship with God, expressing itself through love. That we are fundamentally, regardless of what the circumstances are, to be a people of love, marked by love. See, this is just what it means to be a follower of Jesus, no matter what season. The vulnerable, the ostracized, and the invisible. The people we don't see. The people that we can tend to overlook. I think in this season, the invisible is often the homeless and what they're going through. Invisible might be a neighbor that you just really had no idea what they were going through, because we often don't ask maybe that deeper question and know what's really going on in their life and their struggles. It says, roll up your sleeves and love. And I think really it's just what Andy Stanley said so many years ago, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. See, we get overwhelmed by the needs. We get overwhelmed by the pain around us. And so unfortunately what happens is we end up not doing anything at all. And so you can't do everything for everyone. But you can and I can do something for someone. And if we would lean into that and go, I'm going to do something, one specific thing, and I'm going to go and get my hands dirty. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and begin to love people. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's checking in. Maybe it's beginning to pray specifically for your neighbors or people that you're going, God, open my eyes to the needs around me. You're not going to go far until you run and trip over, and God's going to put people along your path to love. Three spiritual practices of the resilient, of the spiritually mature. There's this restraining of our words. There's this rolling up our sleeves and loving. And finally, there's an engagement of a spiritual detox. Spiritually mature people, resilient people, engage in a spiritual detox. Now, I was training for a triathlon. I was going to do two different triathlons, one that was a shorter sprint, one that was a fuller one. And so I was getting into, you know, rhythm with that, working on my diet, working on my exercise, all these sort of things. And then shelter in place hit. And I got to let you know that everything fell apart. My diet fell apart. My workout regimen fell apart. And it almost felt like, well, why even try? I mean, we're probably not going to be able to do the triathlon. And now I know we aren't going to be able to do the triathlon. And literally for a number of weeks, and maybe you found this to be true as well, is I began to engage in coping or numbing activities that were not actually nourishing my soul, nourishing my mind, or nourishing my body. It had to do with just numbing out to TV. And it's just one of those things of like, you're now home and the fridge is there all the time. And I just found myself just kind of going in and just eating when I was bored and all these sort of things. And it was only a couple weeks ago. I'm like, I gotta like adjust because this is not healthy. And we have to do that spiritually as well. We got to engage in a spiritual detox. Notice what he says about this true religion that God our Father accepts. He looks after the orphans and widows. And then notice what it says. And keeps oneself from being polluted by the world. Like there is this active keeping or abstaining to keep yourself from being polluted or tainted by the world. Now, when James is talking about the world, he's not talking about the world the way we kind of think about the world, like we think about the people in the world. He's actually addressing what, and different biblical authors talk about this in the New Testament, and they use the word cosmos as the world system. It's the value and beliefs underneath this world that are opposed to God and his ways. One author said it this way, it's the total system of evil that pervades every sphere of human existence. And he's saying there is this proactive keeping yourself from being polluted by that world system. And I thought, well, there in Jesus' day, actually just prior to Jesus, there was this big undertaking to take the Hebrew scriptures and translate it into Greek because so many people spoke Greek in that day. It's called the Septuagint. And so I was curious, was this the actual Greek word that the writers then used to translate the Hebrew word here, guard? And it is, in fact. And so it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. He says, keep oneself. James is making this clear connection between Proverbs 4:23 and right here. Guard your heart. Keep oneself from being polluted. There's things that want to contaminate and that will actually kill your joy, that will kill your peace, that will kill your life. Keep yourself from being polluted by those things. Well, the question is, well, how do we engage in a spiritual detox? Well, first, we got to identify the toxins in your world. What are the things that are contaminating? What are the things that are polluting? John would say it this way, if you want to flip over just a few pages to 1 John 2:15, he says, do not love the world. That's that world system or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. It's like you can either love what's going on in the world and the things of this world or love God. There's not like this in-between land. And so many of us try to live in the in-between. He says you can't. And he goes, for everything in the world, and he gives three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. And he begins to unpack this lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. That there are these things that are like these sirens calling, saying these will provide happiness. These will provide meaning. These will provide significance and security. And it is calling you and drawing you away from your purpose and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. The lust of the flesh is this calling, this siren of possessions. It's materialism and consumerism. And we get so consumed with keeping up with the Joneses, with driving just the right things, of wearing just the right things, of looking and being in shape and making sure we post that to Instagram, or so envious of how everyone else is living and looking at their, you know, travel things and going like, well, I don't get that. Or the lust of the eyes and this whole idea of pleasure or autonomy or your freedom to do and be whatever you want to be, and the boastful pride of life as we pursue power, we pursue platforms and prestige. Now we talk about it being an influencer, and you have to identify the toxins, just like you would if you're going to do a detox with food. What are the toxins that I'm going to take out, and then what am I going to put in? And so identify the toxins in your world, then begin a daily habit of clean thinking. Begin a daily habit of clean thinking. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 would say it this way: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Same word here. The world system, the values. That word conform literally means to be molded or shaped. Don't allow the world systems and values and ideology to mold you and compress you and to form you. Instead, he says, but be transformed. That's the Greek word metanoia, where it literally is that metamorphosis reality. Allow yourself to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. See, what you put into your mind is of principal importance. Every day you have a decision. What will I put into my mind? And whatever you put into your mind, you become eventually. And we have to be so careful. As parents, we have to be so careful of guarding what we allow our kids put into our mind. And as parents, we have to be so careful of what we put into our mind. As young adults and not so young adults, you never grow out of this. It says, would you begin a daily habit of clean thinking? And frankly, I get really nervous when I hear what followers of Jesus who say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm watching this show. Like, you know what? The violence and the sex and the, the language doesn't bother me. Well, maybe it doesn't bother you, but could it be because you've allowed those things to form you? You know, we get used to pollution that we don't even notice it, and we just accept it as the normal reality. And he says, no, no, no. Do not conform. And begin to get God's word in your mind so that you can understand what is true and what is good. He says, then you'll be able to test. This is Romans 12, the end part of 2. Then you'll be able to test and approve. Like, your life will experience and be able to demonstrate God's will. What is God's will? His good, pleasing, perfect will. See, one of the great lies when we're talking about this is that God is somehow trying to keep you from fun and holding out. And there's all these other areas. And you know what? If you dive into those areas, that's real life. No, 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 no. God's trying to keep you from harm, and he wants the very best for you. You know, when I was a boy, we went to visit my aunt and uncle in Kentucky, and they had an Atari. And we didn't grow up with video games, and so this Atari was like the coolest thing ever. And I remember seeing the Atari, and I was like, oh my goodness. And I started playing, my brothers were playing on this. And then the whole family was going to go out, and I didn't really know where they were going or what they were doing. And they just said, hey, we're going to go out. Why don't you come with me? So I'm like, I'm loving playing the Atari. I'm just going to stay here. And I remember the time they're gone, I'm just playing all the different games that they had. And then they walk in the door, and someone's like carrying this really big stuffed animal. And I looked up and was like, where'd you guys go? Oh, we went to a carnival. A carnival? Yeah, and then they begin to tell me about all the things and the funnel cake and the rides and all the stuff that they experienced. And I was like, oh my goodness. Had I known I was missing out on the carnival, I would have said no to the Atari. because the carnival was way cooler. And the stories they're telling me, I'm like, man, I don't want to miss out on that. And that's how we live. We settle for things because that's what we know. And yet the reality is God says, I have something so much better for you here. C.S. Lewis picks up on this in his quote, in The Weight of Glory. He writes, we are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. Like, God loves you. He wants the very best for you. He's not holding out. And so would you engage in a spiritual detox where you go, you know what? I've been watching movies I shouldn't be watching. I've been on social media and it's just contaminating. In fact, there's some friendships that are actually polluting right now and engaging in conversations that aren't there. And you begin to experience and be renewed and experience His good and pleasing and perfect will. See, this is what resilient or mature people do. This is how they respond. They bite their tongue. They love people well. And they engage in this spiritual detox. And you're going like, well, where do I begin? How does that help me today? And here's what I'd say. Take that and reverse the order. Take that and reverse the order. And so today, would you begin a spiritual detox this week? Where you'd begin to go, okay, what am I going to stop allowing into my mind and into my heart? There's a stopping, and I'm going to begin to get into God's word. I'm going to start playing worship music and get my heart and mind there. And then roll up your sleeves and love someone. Spiritual detox, and then roll up your sleeves and love someone. And here's what you'll find. Here's what you'll find is your tongue will be an indicator of the condition of your heart. And you'll begin to see, oh, you know what? I was able to hold that. I'm able to see these things and God's beginning to form and change me. And it'll be an indicator of you seeing, oh, God, you're actually changing my heart because I would have responded this way. And look, I was able to withhold that moment. God, I just ask that in this moment, as we respond to your word, we wouldn't just be hearers of the word like we talked about last week, but we would be doers. God, I ask that there would be a specific next step for each person to take, that you would give them the courage to do it no matter how hard it is, and that you would make us mature and complete. You would make us resilient so that we could love people well. We can be your hands and feet to a hurting and broken world. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're listening to Living on the Edge, and Chip's with us to talk about the message you just heard. But in case you jumped in late, our guest teacher today was Ryan Ingram with a message from his series, Resilient, Withstanding the Storms of Life. Navigating life's storms is never easy, which is why Chip asked Ryan to come and share this message that brings such practical application to the daily challenges. Culture has a powerful voice that influences our attitudes and our thinking. So Ryan's fresh perspective on James chapter 1 provides the tools we may need to make a few course corrections. For a limited time, resources for Resilient are discounted, and the MP3s are always free. Now, to order your copy or to send it to a friend, visit us at livingontheedge.org, tap special offers on the app, or give us a call at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003. Well, Chip, I know you've got a great application for today, but before you get to that, your latest book has taken off like we've never seen happen before, both here in the U.S. and literally around the world. Would you talk for just a minute about why you think that's happening?
I'd be glad to, Dave. We all get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what to do. I mean, should my kids go to this school or that school? Should I relocate? Should I sell my house? Should I try and stay with this job, find a new job? I mean, people right now are living in unbelievable confusion, and they need answers to specific things that there's no Bible verses, right? There's not an absolute right or wrong. But God promises to give supernatural wisdom. That's the skill and the ability to know exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it in your specific situation. And He promises to give it 100% of the time if you will fulfill one condition. And in The Art of Survival, we explain what that condition is and how every believer can experience it.
It's called The Art of Survival. ART is an acronym. A-R-T. A is the attitude that helps us navigate adversity. R is the resource God offers in adversity. And T is the theology that guides our perspective in adversity. In a world of chaos and confusion, Chip explains there's an art to survival, skills honed by practice that lead to joyful endurance no matter what. If you're looking for a path to perspective and peace, you need to read Chip's new book, The Art of Survival. Get your discounted copy at livingontheedge.org with the Chip Ingram app or by calling us at 888-333-6003. That's 888-333-6003. I hope you'll do it today.
As we wrap up today and actually this entire series on resilience, I think it's important that you don't get overwhelmed with lots and lots of material. Actually, Ryan put it pretty simply. He said, number one, spiritually detox. Number two, roll up your sleeves and love someone. And number three, bite your tongue. Well, we're all struggling with the grind, the discouragement of what's happening in our world, of economic issues, political issues, social issues, racial divide. I mean, there are so many things that build such tension. We can get overwhelmed and discouraged. So let me encourage you just to apply those three little principles. Number one, spiritually detox. Please stop the amount of news that you're watching. Stop the amount of time on social media. I mean, would you consider like 3, 5, 7 days of a media fast? And it would be wonderful if you could absolutely shut off. It'll just cleanse your mind. But if not, at least reduce things. Maybe 5 or 10 minutes just to stay up with the news. But your mind is feeding your emotions, division, bad news, anger, pictures of violence and hatred toward one another that will destroy your heart and not allow you to be the Christian that God wants you to be. Second is roll up your sleeves. Let's not get frustrated with what's not happening out there. I love the line, macro change starts with micro change. In other words, if we want to see racism change, if we want to see the poor helped, if we want to see Christians live like Christians, you and me individually need to take individual steps. Help someone, and especially someone that you know others don't care about. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to post it on social media. Just love some people, roll up your sleeves, and you'll find your perspective changes and their life will get better. And then finally, bite your tongue, or better, maybe get your fingers off of your keyboard and your thumbs off of your phone and stop saying and posting and interacting in ways that really aren't helpful for you and aren't helpful for other people. Let's be Christians who live like Christians. Let's be resilient. Let's be the kind of people that people would look to and say, you know, I don't agree with everything they believe, but I sure like the way those Christians love other people. Let's be those kind of people in a world that needs us a lot right now.
Just before we close, I want to thank each of you who's making this program possible through your generous giving. 100% of your gifts are going directly to the ministry to help Christians really live like Christians. Now, if you found Chip's teaching helpful, but you're not yet on the team, would you consider doing that today? To donate, just go to livingontheedge.org, tap Donate on the app, or give us a call at 888-333-6003. And let me thank you in advance for whatever the Lord leads you to do. Well, until next time, for everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.